This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. You know, we have been hearing something from homeschoolers really all over the country. Something keeps cropping up, and it really has us puzzled, disturbed in some ways. And that's the issue of driver's licenses. Now, I know that there's been discussion about how do you do driver's education in your state. I know some states are more restricted than others. Our state, North Carolina, it's a pretty formalized process, and it's a bother. But this goes beyond that. It goes to the philosophy of young people driving. And what really kind of kicked us off on discussing this was we were sitting in a panel discussion with a bunch of homeschool graduates, and one young man was introduced and embraced this, that at the age of 17, he started his own business in a city, a major city, 800 miles from his hometown. And he moved to that city at the age of 17 to go into business for himself, to be on his own, you know, all these great things. We say, wow, that's terrific. The only snag in the story, though, was that dad had to give him a ride because his son doesn't have a driver's license, or at least he didn't at that point.
What?
Yeah, and that was my reaction. I'm thinking, there's a big disconnect in this. But as we kind of thought about it, realized we've heard this before, and
I've heard it a lot.
Yeah, and even at that event, we were talking with one parent, and they were saying, well, yeah, I'm not in a hurry to get my kids a driver's license, and especially my daughters. I don't think my daughters need a driver's license till they're 18 or 20 or something. I mean, and
that blew me away.
Yeah.
Because I really think I've got some misconceptions, and I think it's just wrong thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about why a parent might think, no, I don't want to get their driver's license as soon as I can. And what we think is the real answer to those questions.
Yeah. You know, I think that when I was in high school, and, you know, I, like most people in our generation, I went through the public school system and everything. For me, I couldn't get my driver's license fast enough. You know, I didn't want to run away from home or get a high-powered sports car. I just wanted the freedom. I wanted to be able to go places. And so, you know, for me, that was just a given. That was a no-brainer. And the idea that there would be families that weren't encouraging their kids.
I know.
You know, that families might actually be holding their kids back or, you know, discouraging them from seeking this. That really puzzled me. And I find it disturbs me because, well, for reasons we'll discuss later, I think this is something that we are underestimating in the homeschool community.
Well, I think it is. I think some of it is practical stuff.
Okay.
Because, you know, I've heard people say, well, the insurance is so high.
And,
you know,
that is true.
But that's kind of a trap. Because, well, first of all, it's a misconception because they don't get added to your insurance. You have to tell your insurance company.
Right.
But there's no price increase as long as they have their learner's permit.
Because they're driving under your supervision, and basically...
Now, if they have a wreck while they're driving under your supervision, it goes on your insurance record.
Right. So
But there's no increase till they get their actual license.
Mm-hmm.
And then, see, up to about age 25, they have a higher rate.
And that's just an actuarial reality.
And they have the highest rate when they have no experience.
Mm.
And so... You may think you're going to miss those high years by 16, 18, but from my understanding, they're going to be just as high 18 to 20 if they have no experience driving.
Well, and that kind of raises the question. If the insurance rate, if having a high insurance rate or a rate increase is a problem, does it cease to be a problem only when they turn 25? Are you going to be driving them around until they're 25-year-olds? How do you expect them to have a job earning enough to pay their own insurance if you have to drive them back?
They can't get there.
Yeah. And you know, that's one of the things that I have to look at. You know, I have lived briefly in Europe. I've traveled around enough to see that there are places like, for example, New York City. It is hard to own a car. There's not parking. The traffic is awful. Then there's plenty of public transportation. But you know what? The world is not New York City. America is the land of the wide open fruited plains and the rest of that. And frankly, even in our big cities, look at, say, Atlanta, look at Charlotte, look at St. Louis. These are cities that are built for people to get around in their car. And if there's public transportation, we periodically people do experiments with the public transportation near our home here in Eastern North Carolina. Like in Raleigh, they'll say, well, I'm going to go for a weekend. I'm just going to ride the buses because that's the green thing to do.
Good luck with that.
That doesn't last more than a week because it takes an hour and a half to make a 15-minute trip to work.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. Our country is set up to be seen behind a wheel.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I don't think that's most people's issue. I think for most of them, I think they're thinking that their kids aren't responsible enough yet. And I hear this a lot. They say, you know, well, my son, he's scatterbrained. I just don't think he's responsible enough. But the problem is, in our experience and talking to hundreds of parents all over the country, thousands of parents,
yeah,
if you wait till your kids are responsible enough, by whatever yardstick you use to handle a responsibility, they never will be. Because they become responsible in response to having a responsibility.
Yeah, and I think you can allow, for rhetorical purposes, that there are kids who are self-destructive, who are, you know, dangerous to themselves and others. You know what? That's such a small, small number. I don't think that's a real issue.
I don't think any parent I've talked to who's waiting to give their kid their driver's license, but that's the case. The mom who was the most concerned I talked to, she said, my son's just not responsible enough. And I said, yeah, how old is she? How old is Anne? Thinking she was going to say 16.
Yeah.
She said 18. I said, 18? Mm-hmm. Is he a senior in high school? She says, yeah, he graduates in a couple of months, and he's going away to the University of Wisconsin on a scholarship. I said, but you've been telling me how he's not responsible enough. You don't think he'll pay attention to stoplights and stop signs, and, you know, he can't get safely to the store, but you think he's mature enough to go away to a secular university in another state.
Mm-hmm.
And stand alone for Christ there. I didn't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she was thinking clearly. In fact, later, come to find out, I said, you know, does he have any family up there? She said, well, I don't know. That's where I went to college. My family was there, but I don't know where they are because I haven't spoken to them in 20 years. I said, what?
Yeah.
And she said, well, when I was 18, 19, they kept treating me like a child. They wouldn't let me do any adult things. And I just walked out and I haven't come back. I was shocked, and I said, you know, I think you need to get your son his driver's license. And she suddenly realized, she said, I'm doing the same thing to him, aren't I?
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes it's fear, that we're afraid they're going to make a mistake, that they're going to get hurt, that they're going to get in trouble. And I don't think we give them enough credit.
No, and I think that that's maybe it's an understandable desire to avoid all hardship in our kids' lives, but honestly, we all make mistakes. I mean, nobody sets out to have an accident. And I think about one that I just cringed, my own mistake. I was very distracted by an issue that was going on, and I was in heavy traffic and needed to make a left, you know, move over to the left-hand lane, and I was driving our Jeep, which has a really bad blind spot behind the driver. And I just glanced back, and I didn't see there was a car in my blind spot. And I just moved over to the left and rubbed right against them. And you feel awful. But you know what? We all make mistakes one time or another. And I think we need to allow our kids to make small mistakes in a time when the consequences are small, and we can help them not only recover from mistakes, but teach them how do you manage when you've made a mistake, when you have a difficulty, this is how you resolve that kind of thing. You know, when it's 5 miles an hour in a parking lot, not when it's 65 miles an hour on the interstate.
Well, you know, that's another issue. I hear parents saying, well, my son has his permit, my daughter has his permit, but mm-hmm. I don't let him drive on the interstate. But really, most accidents happen right around home at intersections in your small town.
Yeah.
And so we're making decisions, and they're not really based on reality. One thing that really upsets me the most, Hal, though,
yeah.
is people who say, I'm not going to get my daughter her driver's license because I don't know if her husband will want her to drive.
Now, let me ask you, mother of girls and woman, what do you think of that?
I'll tell you what I think about it over my dead body. Will my daughter marry a man who is so controlling he doesn't want her to drive?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just crazy stuff. You know, that a woman needs to be able to get her child to the doctor to go grocery shopping. And mm-hmm. any man who is uncomfortable with that has some deep, serious problems, and you ought not to trust your daughter to him.
Well,
that's my opinion.
Thank you.
Not that I have an opinion, right?
Clearly stated, yes. well, you know what?
If you don't want to know, don't ask me.
Well, you know, I think that's a critical point. I think that, you know, in this automotive society, in this world where it's expected that an adult will be able to get around independently, you know, if we don't let our children learn how to drive, if we discourage them from becoming drivers, then we're putting them in a dependent position at the very time in their life when they need to be stepping out, when they need to be learning to be self-reliant, to have confidence, to, you know, to be willing, yes, you could say it, to take reasonable risks.
You know, I hear Christian families saying, mm-hmm. we want to skip the teen years, we want our children to be young adults, and we start saying they're young adults when they're 12, 13, 14.
Hurrah, that's great.
Yeah, but then they treat them like children until they're in their 20s, and I do not understand this because I think that we need to instead help them take on as many adult responsibilities as they possibly can, as our culture will allow us to,
mm-hmm.
because it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth.
Yeah. So do you think that a reluctance to move your kids forward into driving might be a symptom of a deeper relationship issue?
I think we need to be sure that it's not.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we need to examine ourselves and say, am I trusting God with this child?
Yeah.
You know, I say that they're a young adult. Am I helping them to become a young adult?
What are the tools that a young adult should have in their work kit?
Right.
You know, and I think being able to drive a car is like, I mean, that's like being able to swim. I think
it is in our society.
Everybody needs to be able to do it, even if you choose not to for whatever reason. You need to have that skill.
Yeah, in our society, it is a critical basic skill of adulthood. And, you know, the thing I want to talk about in the next section as we talk about how we go about doing this is that actually,
mm-hmm.
if your concern is your kid's safety, the most important thing you can do is get them driving as early as possible and drive as many hours as possible with them. But, Hal, we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's take a short break here.
Right.
And I want to tell folks that if you're listening tonight, there's a great freebie on our website. Go to raisingrealmen.com. All you have to do is sign up for our newsletter,
mm-hmm.
and you get a bunch of great recordings about the presidents, celebrate President's Day.
That's right. This is President's Day, and we have pulled out several tracks, not all of them, but a bunch of tracks from our very popular Hero Tales from American History.
Written by Theodore Roosevelt and Henry Cabot Lodge to character to kids through American history.
That's right. And we pulled out several of them that involve American presidents, George Washington, Andrew Jackson, John Quincy Adams. When have you heard any stories about John Quincy Adams?
There's some cool stories about him.
Ulysses S. Grant.
If you're listening after this promotion has ended, don't despair. You can go to raisingrealmen.com/herotales and get them for yourself. Either download them or order the CDs. You know, before the break, Hal, we were talking about if your concern is safety,
yes,
then the best way to get safety, the research shows the more hours behind the wheel, and particularly the more hours supervised behind the wheel, the more safe the driver.
You know, when I was in the Air Force, the common knowledge was that in combat situations, the pilots who got shot down were at greatest risk in their first five missions.
Yeah.
You know, in their first five missions, that was where they were just kind of getting the feel for being in live shooting situations. And if they could get past those first five, then their chances of surviving went way up.
Yeah.
And so the Air Force made a point, and I think the Navy was involved as well, to get the pilots into very realistic dogfight training type of situations to give them as much of a combat-like experience before there were actual missiles in the air.
Yes.
Because they said, you know what, not only are we teaching you how to fight, but we're getting your mistakes out.
Yes.
We're letting you work out your mistakes when it doesn't involve hitting the ripcord or calling the mortuary officer.
Amen.
And so you know what?
I totally agree.
And I think the same thing is with our kids and driving, because like you mentioned, we've got friends who said, well, you know, I let my child drive around town, but don't let them out on the interstate. You know what? The interstate is really the safest driving of all. Everybody's going the same direction. The lanes are divided. You're all going the same speed. And, you know, there's no sharp curves. There's no intersections.
It's easy as can be.
That's the easy part.
You know, we have a young friend that has been had their learner's permit for quite some time, but the parents never let him drive. And, you know, I'm sympathetic because, frankly, I hate it when we get a new driver. It's nerve-wracking. You know, you clutch your seat. You worry.
Yeah, the younger siblings in the back crying, we're all going to die. We're going to die. Yeah, that's all. Yeah. We've been through it a few times.
We have taught five of ours to drive, and we're about to teach number six.
No, we're teaching number five now.
We're teaching number five. We taught four, about to teach number five.
Yes.
And, you know, yeah, I hate it. And it's really tempting to say, not now. But we have a rule in our family. In our family, unless it's critical, the person who's learning how to drive drives everywhere the family goes.
Yeah.
Now, that's really nerve-wracking. I remember shortly after our oldest got their, I can't remember, learner's permit or license, we drove all the way, just him and me, to Washington, D.C., and he drove in traffic in D.C. Mm. And, yeah, that was really nerve-wracking. But I want them to face every possible driving experience we can while they're next to me, I can give them advice.
Which means in city congestion around the neighborhood. That means out on the interstate. That means two-lane country roads.
That means driving at night.
Driving in the rain.
At night,
and you know what? And if snow is an issue in your area, you know, here it's not a very common thing, but when we have a driver that's in those early stages, if we have an ice storm, I'm delighted to get them out on a back road somewhere and say, all right, this is what a skid feels like.
Yes, this is what you do.
Don't panic. This is how you respond to a slide or a skid, because they need those skills.
And see, I hear my friends saying all the time, well, I couldn't let such and such drive. It was icy. I couldn't let my learner drive because it was raining. I couldn't let him drive because it was at night. And I wonder, okay, well, sooner or later, they're going to have to get their license. I mean, like, they're going to grow up and get married. Sooner or later, they're going to get their license.
Yeah.
So you want them to experience those first things when there's no one there to give them advice?
When your grandchild is in the back seat?
Yeah, it's short-sighted. And I'm sympathetic. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sympathetic, but it's so short-sighted.
Well, it's like the parents we know who don't teach their kids to cook because they hate the mess. You know, I don't like anybody to work in my kitchen but me. Well, that's fine, but your daughter is going to grow up. Your son is going to grow up. Then what happens?
Yeah.
You know, now you've got an adult out there on the market who can cook ramen noodles and hot dogs if they're lucky.
I've known some of those.
And we've known some of those, okay? Well, this is the same thing. You know, yes, it's a bother. It's messy. It's going to be tense. And there's going to be, you know what, probably one parent is going to be better than the other coaching a new driver.
Yeah.
Is that true in our house?
Oh, it's true. I think you're way better at it than I am.
which takes some steady nerves.
It does take some steady nerves, but you know, can we just say this? Parenting is not about the parent's convenience.
It's not about our comfort
it's
or peace of mind.
It's not about our comfort or peace of mind. It's about doing what's best for the child. If you look at the stats, clearly what's best for the child is behind the wheel as many hours as possible before they're on their own.
And you know what? I think one thing I see, too, is a lot of parents don't really think out loud very much. They're really not that used to imparting information. It sounds strange talking to homeschoolers. But, you know, when I'm out working with one of our young drivers, I'm looking ahead and I'm trying to think, now, what would I do next? I need to tell him to be sure, okay.
To start breaking the house.
We're on this intersection. Now, watch that driver up there. He looks like he's going to turn across our path, so you need to back up. You know, leave a little bit of time or space. And you really have to coach them through these things step by step because they don't know yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really the rewards to this. I mean, first off, you're training adults. You're not training teenagers. You're training young adults here, and they need these skills.
Yeah.
And you know what? You need them to have these skills. That is such a tremendous blessing when you've got another licensed driver in the family, and you can say, ah, son, I'm in the middle of cooking this dinner or whatever, and I'm out of cream, or I need some more butter or whatever. Can you run down to the store and get some? Or, hey, I'm tied up on a phone call. Can you go pick up your sister at dance lesson?
Well, it's awesome. It is so wonderful, especially when you have a big family.
Yes.
Do not deny yourself this pleasure. And, you know, don't deny them the pleasure and joy of getting old enough to do this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, of going out by yourself to run an errand, of being responsible enough to do an adult thing. You know, we were working on the house earlier today, and one of our teams said, Mom, we're out of paper towels and cleaner. I'm running to the store. Is there anything you need? You know, he just took care of it. You know, he did what an adult would do. And that's what we want our kids to do. We want them to grow up to be adults. You know?
Yeah.
We want them to be confident adults. And I think this starts right now when we begin to trust and act like adults. And, you know, it's scary because you look at this gormless 14-year-old, you know, and they make stupid jokes and they make foolish decisions and they're scatterbrained and they're addled and you think, let him behind the wheel? Oh, no. But I have universally seen that when you do give them the responsibility sobers them up. You know, they look around and they realize, oh, my word, this is serious. And, you know, we've got a pretty good driver's ed program in North Carolina. It's about 2.5 weeks of 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I know some states don't have that. If you don't have a driver's ed program, I highly recommend that you get one and just go over all those things you may have forgotten about driving in special situations. Remind them what a serious situation it is. You know, there's a lot to learn, but get them out there driving.
You know, think about this, Sue. How did Jesus disciple the disciples? You know what? He took them alongside. He said, come with me. And Jesus went out and he ministered to people. And then he turned to the disciples and said, did you see what I just did?
Yeah.
Did you understand this? This is why. This is what God has said. This is how we apply it. And then after he had demonstrated it for a time, he had them helping.
Yeah.
And then he would send them out on short missions by themselves. Yeah. And then when he came back, he'd say, all right, tell me what happened. And they would talk it over. And you know what? That's how we teach driving.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, we say, here, you sit in the front, let me tell you what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And honest to goodness now, how many people actually are driving a straight shift anymore? Not many, okay? And that's a great skill, too. I love driving a straight shift when you have one. But honestly, it's so straightforward to drive an automatic transmission car. It really comes down to the patience and the nerve of the parent.
Yeah.
To walk it through with that young driver and say, hey, this is how we do this responsibly, safely. And yes, you know what? We drive in a Christ-honoring manner, I hope. I heard a pastor one time say that his little girl that he normally rode with him on errands and things, this little girl went out on an errand with her mother one day, and she calls from the back seat in her car seat. She says, Mama, where are all the stupid idiots? And Mama has to think for a minute, and she said, They only come out when Daddy's driving.
Oh, no.
Okay.
That's terrible, huh?
Yeah, it is. But, you know, they do learn from us. And that's both a caution and an opportunity.
It is an opportunity. You know, let's share some of the positive stuff here. Because,
yeah.
You know what? I remember a day in Phoenix, Arizona. And we had our third son
mm-hmm.
had just gotten his license maybe a month or two before that.
Something like that.
And it was a crisis situation. I can't even remember what happened. I think, you know, you had gone somewhere
mm-hmm.
with one of the children, and he was supposed to drop me off at the booth because I was supposed to speak. The conference center in Phoenix is right downtown.
Oh, it's downtown. It's right next to the baseball stadium. And there's a big parking garage, and they had a special overflow lot for tall vehicles like ours.
And we had set up a parking place there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was nervous enough. I said, drop me off. There's not time. Go park it and then come back.
Right.
And he was a long time coming back, and I didn't know what to think. I can't remember. We didn't have enough cell phones that day. Turns out, and I was nervous about him going and parking it in the flat lot.
Right.
But turns out he got to the lot, and the tenant had made a mistake and given away all the parking places.
Right, the lot was full.
And so he had to go to the owner of the parking garage, mm-hmm. find a place to park the trailer temporarily,
yes.
go to him. The guy had to find him a place in the garage.
Right.
Matthew said there's only a few inches on either side of our mirrors. He had to park that 15-passenger van pulling a 10-foot cargo trailer.
Yeah.
Enclosed trailer.
In between two concrete pillars.
In a parking garage.
And you know what? He did it.
He managed it fine.
Not a scratch.
Now, why? Because he had been driving hundreds and hundreds of hours pulling that trailer before then.
That's right. In fact, we're kind of like a driver's ed program all our own because we have two vehicles. We have a 15-passenger van that's often pulling this cargo trailer. That's a pretty big rig. And then we have a Jeep Wrangler, which is one of the shortest wheelbases, and it's top-heavy.
Yeah, and it drives on a dime. I mean, you can about turn around in place.
And so you can turn around in our street. You don't even have to back up. I mean, 3-point turn, just do a U-turn in our street. But you know what? When our kids get out of our house, they have driven great big things with trailers, and they've driven little skittish, top-heavy vehicles as well.
Get all kinds of weather and environments and with people with us and without people with us.
And so they can handle any passenger car they're going to need.
And when they drive away, I trust they're going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
And no, we don't give our kids a car. We can't afford it.
No.
I would love to be able to do that. But, you know, they have earned them. They have bought them. They've been given them. And, you know, even for as little as $300, you know, you can, mm-hmm. cars don't have to be a barrier. You know, you motivate those kids, tell them they can do it, go on something themselves.
Right. So I guess in sum, our advice on driver's license for your young people is get them as soon as they're able. And you know what? Yeah, it's going to cost some more to add them on the insurance, but there's plans. If you've never looked at it, you can get discounts for good students. All homeschoolers are good students, right? Well, but should be. There's good student discounts. There are safe driver discounts. There's multi-vehicle discounts on your insurance.
Check with other insurance companies. If you're former military, we're with USAA, and they are so cheap.
And talk to your current agent because, you know, if you're going to have a major change in your insurance, he knows that may mean you have a change in insurance carrier, too. So he's going to be motivated to find you the best deal possible and keep you as a customer.
And once you get them their learner's permit or their license, for crying out loud, let them drive every time your family gets behind the wheel. It'll be really hard at first, but, boy, it's an investment in their safety in the future.
You know, it's an investment in their future all along. And don't forget this. You know, it's not just a convenience for you and safety for them, but it opens so many doorways for them to seek employment, to attend school, to make a choice about the church they attend when they move out of your home.
To be involved in ministry.
To be able to minister to other people. You know, all of those things.
To give you a break.
Yeah. So don't shortchange this. We really encourage you. Take this step and help your young people step out into the adult roles, even when they're 16 or 17 years old.
And you know what? They can do it. I think mm-hmm. your kids can do it.
Yeah. Well, look, we appreciate you joining us. You know, we're here every week on Monday nights, but you can also catch us on iTunes. You can download the program shortly after they broadcast, and we hope you'll join us again as we take biblical truth and principles to the 21st century family. Until then, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks so much for listening.
Talk to you later, folks.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.